Thanks for listening to the Adam and Dr. Drew Show on Podcast One.
This is Norman Lear with my great sidekick, Paul Hipp.
Good to be here with you, Norman, on All of the Above.
That's the name of my podcast, All of the Above.
Yeah.
We have had guests you cannot believe.
Yeah.
Guests.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus, amazing.
Yes. And America Ferrera.
Jared Carmichael.
Yes. Oh, Amy Poehler. How did we overlook? We didn't overlook Amy Poehler. I was saving her for last. And Charles Barkley, I was saving him for first, actually, because I didn't declare up first.
I get to hang out with this guy. And this is your chance to hang out with Norman Lear a little bit here and some of these great guests.
God, I wish I was you hanging out with Norman Lear.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
See?
That must be exciting.
It's the best. I'm telling you.
Don't miss All of the Above with Norman Lear. The first episode's available Monday, May 1st on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Drew's got a book. I'm taking it away from him because I'll start reading it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How are you doing, Drewski?
Thank you. I'm doing good. You said, Gary, before the mics heated up, tilted towards a topic about disorder or something. You got me all curious. Is it worth talking about?
Yes. I was talking to Dr. Spaz.
Ah. Oh, I think Spaz is going to fill in for me in a couple of weeks, by the way.
Oh, joy.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Circle that on the calendar. No, I was having a nice conversation with him about this oppositional defiant disorder.
Okay.
And then I started thinking about some folks I used to work with around here. And I started thinking about my buddy Ray and some other folks in my life. And I realized, oh, they have a disorder.
Yeah.
Like, Ray can't do things that you tell him to do without...
He won't do them. Yeah.
He won't.
Yeah.
And the reason... I actually had this very interesting little sort of yardstick to measure whether someone has this disorder or not. it's really this. You know, you talk about addiction not measured in pints or ounces, but addiction in continuing use in the face of adversarial
consequences.
Yeah. You know, you're losing your job, DUIs, or getting a divorce. You're still doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I look at this with this oppositional defiant thing. Look, people are oppositional and defiant about things like, hey, go to the gym and work out. I don't want to go to the gym and work out. You know, that's one thing. Or sometimes people have other, you know, go to the doctor, go to the dentist. No, it hurts, you know, whatever it is. But when you lay out things, like I lay out things to my buddy Ray that are for his benefit, and he's still telling me to go fuck myself, then it gets into the disorder department.
Yeah, he's not listening even. He's just moving into posture immediately.
Well, there was a very interesting thing that I gleaned.
I saw a little glimmer of it because anything in authority has to get effed with. And so you're trying to do a TV show. He's going to drill when you're talking. I thought, oh, that's that thing.
I don't even know. Yeah. Well, I don't know if he knows it, but
right.
I had this.
That's the disorder again. They just do it automatically.
Well, there's one really interesting sort of test for the disorder, and it's a test that's almost like the doctor hitting you in the kneecap with a little rubber mallet. Mm-hmm. It's just either moves or it doesn't move, but it's not really about, well, I choose to kick or I don't choose to kick.
It's
a reflex.
Yeah.
We were standing on set, and I started saying during rehearsal, but the cameras were rolling or something, and I was saying, you know, I said something to Ray. I said to Ray, somebody bashed his truck up and left him a note, and then the guy said his name was let's say Rob.
Yeah.
So I said, what was the guy's name, Ray? I said, the guy left a note, said his name was Rob. And I said, all right. And I looked at the camera, and I said, Rob, if you're listening, I'm coming gunning for you. You got me? And then I stopped, and Ray said, his name was Rob. Oh. And I said, didn't I say Rob? And he said, no, you said Bob. And I said, oh, I thought I said Rob. No, no, you said Bob. And then everybody else in the room, and their, you know, floor managers and set guys, everyone else was there, stage. And they all looked and they went, no, he said Rob. And I said, Ray, you're standing closest to me. Why did you decide I said the wrong name when the eight other people who are standing here knew I said the right name?
Yeah.
And here's why it's the reflex test. You didn't hear me say Bob. I said Rob. And that's what everyone else heard, but they don't have oppositional defiance disorder. You actually, as soon as I stopped, you went, you said it the wrong way. And right. If, by the way, if you're alone with that person in a car,
you'll start going with it.
You got to go, yeah. I guess I thought I said Rob, but I guess I said Bob.
Yeah, it's what's crazy making about certain kinds of pathologies. But I would argue he probably has an attentional thing too. He doesn't pay good attention.
Well, that's a very good thing. Yeah. This is going to bring us around to the real problem.
Okay. And by the way, I'm fascinated by how do you change that and how much can you change? Well,
not zero.
No, not zero. But go ahead. I'll tell you about it after. Go ahead.
Well, please. I'd like to know because I said to him, you know, he was wanted to be a part of the TV show, and you know that.
Yeah, he told me this. Yeah.
And I said to him, "You got to go take an improv class. Yeah, you're not listening."
No, no. Okay. I mean, you told
this much. Was, you know.
Yeah.
And then you know about the argument that happened when he decided not to see the improv.
Yep.
All right. Well, yesterday or last,
he screams at, essentially yells, "You're not the boss of me," or "I'll go do it right now."
He yelled, "Do you want me?" He yelled, "Do you want me to go see the improv coach right now?" And I said, "Yes." And he yelled, "Fuck you! I'll go do it." And I've had, by the way, I've had versions of this happen with other things.
But think about it, it's like a little kid throwing a oppositional tantrum, right?
Well, especially when it has to do with them.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Well, you want to talk about BarkBox, and I'll
talk
about the latest.
Sure. Okay. Delivery of BarkBox gives you 4 to 6 natural treats, super fun toys. They're all picked around a surprise theme each and every month. Your dog will love these. You just tell them how big your dog is. Choose a plan, 1, 6, or 12 months. Then BarkBox delivers on the 15th of each month. BarkBox, BarkBox. You can cancel anytime. Free shipping throughout the continental United States. And if your dog does not like something in that BarkBox, you will just tell them and they will send you something new for free. All the edible treats are made in the USA or Canada. And for a free extra month, that's right, so that 1, 6, or 12 becomes 2, 7, or 13, go to BarkBox, BarkBox.com/Carolla, CAROLLA, when you subscribe, and you'll get that free extra month. And if you have a big dog like Phil, you know it's hard to keep toys going.
Oh, my
you
God. Gotta,
and the food, too. And I don't know about you, but our dog really digs the treat thing. I mean, that's a big deal to him. And so having new ones and different ones that he likes is very, very fun. BarkBox.
you know, we got in a screening match, and he said, fine, I'll go see my improv coach. And that was about the last came of it. And then a couple days back, now we're slated to do 10 shows, and we've done 6. So a few days away from doing our 7th show, and I just said to Ray, how's it going with the coach in the improv?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah. It's a problem.
7 shows in.
Yep. And
I've certainly seen lots of great improvisational examples during the show.
He's not very good on his feet. He's not, you know, he's not doing what I'd like him to do, which is shining a little bit. You know, he can use this platform mm-hmm. to shine, not to take over the show or to elbow me out of the way.
Something. Yeah.
It's just sit in the corner of the shrubs over there and throw out some zingers every once in a while. And, you know, it's going to help. So
it helps you. The more interesting
helps
stuff
me,
around
helps
you.
Him, helps everything. Yeah. So I said to him, by the way, and also with these people who have this affliction, there is no such thing as, hey, just brush your teeth every night before you go to bed. It's good for gum health. And then you leave the room and that's it. Oh, no. Every single night you have to walk in and go, did you brush your teeth? Okay. I'm sleeping. Okay. But did you brush your teeth? Leave me alone. You know, oof. I'm not trying to bug you, but I'm asking if you brush your teeth.
Could you imagine that?
Well, that's what my life becomes because they can't.
But I mean, if you had a kid like that.
I have one kid like that and one kid who's not
that
way. She's
not really like that.
No. I mean, no, she's like a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Who, you know, right. You left the door open. I wasn't in there last. Right. You know, mommy went in there. Right. You know, a lot of that. And who knows with my house who did what? We don't know. But the point is when I said to so how's it going with the coach? It's one of those things. It's hard to notice any improvement, but it doesn't mean you're not working with somebody on it or whatever. And he said, I haven't seen him in I haven't seen him in a little while. And I said, what does that mean? Like, we're right in the middle of this thing. How long's it been? 2 weeks. I said, 2 weeks? That's this kind of thing where it's supposed to be twice a week, every week, you know? It's been 2 weeks, huh? I think it's been 2 weeks. I said, 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Maybe 3 weeks.
Uh-oh.
I said, 3 weeks or a month? He said, oh, okay, maybe it's been a month.
How many times has he seen him? All told, all in.
Gary, we're going to have to get to the bottom of this, but according to his description, this is his account of it.
His accounting, literally now.
His accounting of it.
Yeah.
They have met twice and had discussions.
That's it.
And he's decided to go another direction. Ray has. And is currently looking for a class to take, even though his claim is he hasn't seen him in a month, which I would assume is 2 months or 6 weeks.
Didn't we hear something about this way back at the beginning? This sounds familiar. Like he started from this place.
He started by saying, I started by saying you're not very good at listening. The way listening is to get an improv, is not get an improv coach. I said, start getting a class, start doing improv. You're going to be on camera.
Right.
It helps with your listening.
Yeah.
So just go get in a class. I mean, I said it like we're entering a professional soccer tournament now. Get to hit the gym. You know, that's basically what I'm saying is you're not in good shape. You need to get in the gym and work it out. You know, get a trainer, get in a step class or spinning class. You know, that's how I was saying it. And it's no different than that, by the way. It's like, go get your reps. Go break a sweat. You know, get movement. Yeah. Get moving because we're going to play this tournament. It's going to be fast and there's a lot of competition and we want to be on our our best.
Yeah.
So, the beginning was he found somebody, but he wasn't seeing him. And then it got to the point where he did see him, but as Ray said, it wasn't a good fit. And now he's looking for a class, although I don't know what that means because you can go online and find a class in 30 seconds. And if it's been over a month, when are you signing up for this class?
Oof.
And every class is, and I brought in my, play program from the Two Roads Players, March 31st, 1990, when I was doing improvs and writing sketches and doing stuff. I was 26, and I was out hitting it, working full time, by the way, and doing it on weekends. Every theater, every church, every 99 theater, they all have a Saturday afternoon, whatever. You can go. It's not like, well, I work on Mondays. You know what I mean? It's weekends. It's nights and weekends because they do it for people who are working, essentially.
Are these actual quotes on the back here? Or are they made up?
I don't know. I never looked into it. This is Nietzsche and Plato, Tolstoy quotes on the back. I don't know. Anyway, good pod. So he said,
thank you.
So evidently he's
speaking of ODD.
So the long and the short of it is, I told him to do something that would benefit him and benefit me and benefit his chances of being on the show that he's begged to be on. I told him, essentially, whatever he was doing, it wasn't really working out. It wasn't – I needed him to start to get better. Mm. Start listening, start progressing, start getting better. And his life hasn't worked out at all. Obviously, he lives in an apartment, drives a truck that's worth less than $3,000. So please listen to me. And furthermore, as I say to everybody, it's not like I didn't do it. I did it times 100.
You mean like him? You mean been like him?
Everyone I talk to in my life, I go, I'm not telling you get down and lick my boots, you dog. I'm saying go do something I formerly did many weekends and many weeknights for many years. I'm not telling you to do anything I didn't do.
Yeah. Were you ever any oppositional features yourself?
I had a sort of self-oppositional, like I probably hurt myself
I opposed anything I said.
I try not. I do consider the source. Mm. I don't, you know, when Ray says something to me, I don't oftentimes believe it because he's lied so many times and been missed, whatever. So his batting average is so horrific that I tend not to listen to him. When Kevin Hench, my writing partner, says something, I tend to listen acutely.
No, I get it.
If somebody says to me, you know, an observation, like, you know, when I was doing my morning show, I think Jimmy said to me, I was listening to a show the other day, he said awesome 9 times in like 10 minutes. And I went, did I? And he said, yeah, he kept saying, awesome. I said, hey, well, I got a new TV. That's awesome. You know, he kept saying, that's awesome. And he said, you don't even really use that word very much. You're sure using it a lot. And I went, well, I'm embarrassed and I won't do that anymore.
All right. So you asked about change. You ask about change and how people change. What did you experience in that moment that led to the change?
A little bit of shame.
Okay, shame. Is that the only emotion?
No. I had to assess. First was like an accuracy thing. Like, am I – well, first off, where is Jimmy? He's sitting in his car in traffic. Okay. Yeah. What is he reporting to me? He's reporting to me that he listened to one break on his way into work and he heard me say awesome like way too many times.
Yeah.
So is this an accurate source?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe it to be accurate.
Yeah.
Is he telling me this to try to knock me down a peg?
Right.
Or is he interested in me turning out a better product?
Yeah.
And thus making more money and being more fruitful in life.
Yeah.
So, okay, I figured that out.
Yeah, no.
Yes and yes.
Huzzah.
Now he's telling me something that I feel a little embarrassed
about.
Okay,
so embarrassed and shame. Shame and embarrassment, though, usually doesn't sustain a change. It'll make it in the moment. But it doesn't really sustain it because change requires maintenance.
I went back.
Now let me preface what I'm about to say. Is that because it was sort of a professional recommendation, it's a little different because professionally you have sort of a procedure you go to make change, you assess and you build and you redo.
Well,
things.
Sort of. But the it's not a guy coming up and you're working on, you know, refrigerator repair and he's explaining to you how to braise something. This is you talking and giving your personality and.
Right.
But there's a personal side, obviously, to the radio. It's not as cut and dried as a professional setting.
I get what you're saying, which is that it cuts. It cuts deep. But
well, it doesn't cut deep.
It cuts deeper than how do you hang a door or something. But it has the adjusting has its own attentional quality to it because it is a professional environment. Does that make sense? Like you're going to pay attention to the change. Differently than if somebody said, hey, I don't like your attitude.
No, if somebody said you have bad breath. I would think about that when I was going out to meet that person for lunch the next time. It would be in my head, floss.
So you're going to argue that it's in the same as – very similar to any other change behavior. So fine. So shame and guilt don't usually sustain change. They trigger you the process of change, but they're not what sustain.
Well, what sustains it for me is a little shame, mm-hmm. a little guilt. Mm-hmm. I go back in time and picture Jimmy sitting in his car in traffic and hearing me say, awesome, awesome, awesome.
Did you ever think about his face reaction to it, like what his face would look like?
I think sometimes I do, yeah.
And
I think,
what would be on his face?
Just some fecal matter and a swastika.
That's the usual.
I'm picturing him being a fan of me and a fan of my ability and not – appreciating this moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And being a little disappointed.
Disappointed.
And so I think to myself, well, there's two things. And I wish everyone had this with me, but evidently almost everyone in my life is sort of bottomless with this, which is my greatest goal is to never have this discussion with Jimmy ever again.
Yes,
I never want to have this discussion with him. And I say to people constantly, because I've had conversations with people not 3 times, not 21 times, but 47 times where I'm saying to them, but you please do this. I never want to discuss this with you ever again.
Is that, though, because you want so much to do a better job or just you don't want to feel this way ever again?
I look at life as you're here for between,
your motivation.
Not, zero and 85 years.
Motivation.
No, you're here for this finite period of time.
Okay.
There's many books to write, lectures to go to, lectures to listen to, TV shows to make, documentaries. It's all playing with the kids. It's all there, all the good stuff. And then there's rinse out the coffee mug so we don't spend a bunch of time with the sponge and the whatever. Okay, that's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to spend as little time as humanly possible getting into that.
Yeah.
Little time. Now, not no time. Sadly, it's going to have to be stated that, hey, you got to rinse a little water in the mug before you get the thing so it doesn't dry up, make the ring, take a blah, blah, blah. And then I say it once, and then it's back to playing with the kids or working on the documentary.
Yeah.
But I don't want to circle back again and discuss the mug again. And whatever the version of that is. And I certainly don't want to do it for the 47th time.
Okay.
And I have that at the other shop. I had it here.
I would argue that most people want to change because they don't like a feeling state. They don't want to ever feel that again.
Well, I didn't. Here's the biggest problem with the people that are afflicted with this disease. I didn't feel 1 ounce of anger toward Jimmy.
Yeah.
I felt 100% I needed to change.
Right.
Not 100%, oh, you're not funny, Adam, or he thinks you're stupid, or he called you a bad morning DJ. I didn't think any of that.
If somebody does think that, what's the feeling they're trying to avoid?
If they feel like
they get angry at the person or the other person.
Screw Jimmy.
Yeah.
I really feel like it's a vestige of adolescence.
But they're trying to avoid shame.
Yeah, they're trying to avoid shame. Yeah. Yes.
They can't tolerate shame. And so it's sort of a narcissistic disorder because narcissists can't tolerate.
It's extremely narcissistic because you have a person saying, look, you'd get a lot more power on your backhand if you use two hands on your stroke, and you're going, hey, Pops, I know what I'm doing over here. And like, that person's trying to help you with your game.
So that shame, you know, embarrassment feeling, he can't feel that. Can't tolerate it. It's shattering to him. Can't do it.
Right. Yeah. I would argue a much more uncomfortable experience is a shitty apartment and a piece of shit pickup truck.
So for you, shame and guilt are sufficient. Do you mind going through this exercise? I think it's very illustrative. Shame and guilt are sufficient to get you to change. For him, no, because he can't feel it. He can't feel that. So just like drug addicts can't feel anything, there's certain things that get through. So using my addiction model again, which is how you started this conversation. Two things get through when people are stuck in these modes that they can't change. One is if they don't change it, they're going to die. Then they become willing to change. Now, there's no reason likely he's going to die in this situation. So that's not likely to be felt. The other is some way or another, they disgust themselves. They get disgusted with themselves. It's how people lose weight. It's how people – it's when they see themselves as they are, they'll go, oh, shit, that's disgusting.
No, they lose weight. Boom, they go, change. I saw a picture of myself from 4th of July 2 years ago. Yeah. I was wearing shorts and a tank top, and I was disgusted when I saw that
boom,
picture.
Change. Right. That's it. Pow. Right. Next day. Boom. Right. It starts. Right. And it sustains.
But these people aren't disgusted with themselves because they're insane narcissists.
Because he can't see himself.
Right.
So how do you break through that? And that's what therapy is supposed to do.
Well, that's why the next thing out of my mouth is, how long have you been seeing my dad? 20 years. You should get your fucking money back. Get your fucking money back. Because I've literally talked to my dad, and I said, he doesn't need to be seeing you once a week. He needs to be seeing someone from the Groundlings once a week and working it out.
Now, to be fair, some personality disorders are rigidly fixed, and people don't believe they can really be changed. So you can only dampen them down or dampen them up kind of thing. You know what I mean? You can sort of, or it gets bigger.
Oh, I listen. Listen to me. Ray is going to turn 54 in 4 weeks. There's not been a fucking thing I've ever said to him since I've been successful for 20 years plus now, and I've been trying to explain to him, here's what you do.
Explaining doesn't work, right?
Absolutely
not. It's not that. This is a whole different process, right?
It's not a process. It's a
getting him to change is a whole different process.
Oh, it's a non-thing.
Can get him to cool down some of the behaviors a little bit.
It basically turns into, look, take an improv class, don't take an improv class, or go fuck yourself and don't ever talk to me about
it. Ideally, he should get in a new kind of a connection with another person, a good therapist, who can attach to him sufficiently that he becomes able to tolerate seeing himself as he really
is. Well, there's where my dad is doing a horrible, horrible job. He's got to get his money back from my dad. Like, I honestly think about it. It's like I realize like my dad's star patient is Ray, and Ray's is horrible.
Why don't you at least teach him to play a trumpet or something? We get something out of it.
For that hour?
Yeah. You get something.
Oh, he can play the Glockenspiel.
Like that. Let's talk about True Carb.
All right.
All right. I'm getting uncomfortable, but if you want to feel comfortable that you're getting a fair price, you need the context, you need the information, you need all the – listen, there's an imbalance when you go to buy something. The people who's trying to sell you something, they know a lot. You don't, but not with True Carb, because you can learn a fair price, what other people are paying right in your area. And you'll see for the car you want, you'll learn about it. And once you register for that particular price, that price is a locked-in estimate. That's locked in for a actual inventory on the dealer's lot. So when you show up at the lot of one of the other 13,000 True Carb certified dealers, when you show up at that lot with that locked-in price, you can feel confident that it's there, the car is there, you're going to get that price. And on average, you can expect to save over $3,000 off MSRP. There have been over 3 million cars sold, as I said, by the over 13,000 True Carb certified dealers nationwide. So when you're ready to buy, new or used, what was I said last yesterday? I was like, new or used? Oh, I can't remember now. I had a nice
news,
little,
used, trues car.
Yeah, there you go, like something that, like that. Yeah. So when you're ready to buy, go to True Carb and you'll enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
All right. So bottom line with these people is you just pretty much – what I've done is just realize, oh, screw it. I'm done.
Well, like, that's what personality disorders are.
Yeah, no, I get it. You'll just be that, and you'll take that to your grave.
And to be fair, we should.
And I want to say this, too, because I say to these people all the time, how is this serving you? Is it serving you? Is it serving you? Because I'm looking at you. And by the way, you're constantly hitting up me. I need some money. Can I do a podcast? Can you get me on your show? So evidently, it's not serving you. So if it's not, if it was really working, and I mean, listen, Jimmy Kimmel has some of this in him, some of it, but it serves him. You see what I'm saying?
Well, it's a trait rather than a disorder. It becomes a disorder when it affects functioning.
Yeah, whatever it is, I'm sure Madonna has some of this, but it serves her. Yeah. She's figured out a way to make it serve her. But Ray, it's not serving you. So for you now, would you like to alter this path? The answer is no. And so now moving on.
But be careful with the serving him part, because that's what he's always searching for, as a way to make it work for him.
I'm not careful about anything anymore. I'm just moving on. The point is we shall go. Drew, the point is 3 weeks before this endeavor started, I begged him to sign up for an improv class.
Yeah.
Hold on. We shall now finish 10 episodes without him taking an improv class, and that's a 3-month period, and I get it.
That's why they call it oppositional defiance.
It's a no sale.
Go to line 5.
Line 3 has been on hold for a while.
5 longer, but go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I guess it's fun. Did 5 move around or something on me? Mm-hmm. Okay, well then hold on a second. I don't want to be oppositional. Chris, 37.
You too, it's true.
Chris? Hey, what's up, guys?
Hold on 1 second. I made a Paul Newman documentary that starred me and Paul Newman as the narrator. Yeah. And the guy said, I was actually fine in it, but the guy said, get Adam out of it, and it's a good movie. And I said, get me out of it. And I left out of it. Now, I think that's probably the opposite of that particular disorder.
Yes.
It is, right? I cut every frame of me out of my movie.
Well, following anything that anybody tells you is not the same as that disorder, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on? It just, the reason I say that is because once in a while when I argue with this individual, they lump me in with them. Like, well, you're just as pig-headed as anyone. And it's like, not like,
different,
no.
It's different, yeah.
No, I'll argue about things I'm right about, but the second you tell me to stop saying awesome, I stop it. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
Go on, fellas. Hey, quick question. I was just wondering, now that people are starting to live quite a bit longer than they used to, has the biological clocks been getting extended for women? And I guess men, I just sort of been hearing recently in the years that men have a biological clock as well, at least as far as the sort of developmental capacity of the child being born. Has there been any research or study showing that those numbers are getting lower as well?
You first got to tell me what you mean by the male biological clock. I don't quite get that.
Oh, well, like the older the guy is, the more the more of a chance there's going to be a sort of a developmental disability with the child.
There have been some. Yeah, there have been some studies that show that there might be a link between older fathers, and autism. But again, not been proven yet. But there's some data to that effect, and that has not changed. Nor has the age of onset of puberty has dropped, but the age of the window of fertility hasn't extended on the other end.
Yeah, you'd think that as we live longer and as everyone gets married later and blah, 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 that somehow this is going to extend, but it's just not going to extend.
It's not happening.
It's a thing that cuts off at, 34 and a half or whatever it is, and then after that starts getting dangerous, and it doesn't care if you go to 60 or 160, it's going to cut there. Now, maybe 500 years from now or 1,000 years from now, who knows?
Right.
But for now, that doesn't happen. For the men, the biological clock, save this thing about
autism
that probably doesn't really exist, the biological clock is extended because the biological clock is not a physical clock.
It's the life expectancy.
It's not a biological clock.
It's just the life expectancy.
It's just the life expectancy. So that can be altered because it doesn't. It's not hardwired. Mm-hmm. It's not plumbed. It's a notion more than it is a plumbing.
In men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy.
Wait.
Oh, what?
What, Chris? Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, do you think maybe all these new developmental delays is sort of our bodies maybe catching up with that evolution?
I don't think there's a bunch of new developmental delays.
I just think we're going nuts. Well, there are psychological delays from the standpoint of adolescence, sort of a adolescent dependency going on longer, but that's not a biological
As soon
thing.
As we said spectrum with things, then everybody's, he's got a little Asperger's. It's like, no, I don't. Yeah, but a little bit. No. And then I answer, my answer is, okay, if I have a little Asperger's, you should fucking pray you get a little Asperger's too, dick. Maybe you'd get something done. Fuck everyone.
Tell Bruce.
Dominic,
next week, 2 weeks when he's in here for me.
Whatever it is
him.
I got.
Please tell him.
We should make out. I could cornhole you and get you some of that. Be the best day of your fucking life. All right, go ahead, Dominic.
Adam, Dr. Drew, always telling a friend about the show and supporting the sponsors. I love what you guys do.
Thanks, buddy.
Dominic.
You go to drdrew.com, too, please. I need you.
Yeah.
I will. Hydrolite's on there, right?
Yes, my man.
Okay, good. Adam, a few shows ago, you mentioned that when you were working as a carpenter, you encountered some shells of a husband, and they were afraid of their wife, and it was a bit of a wake-up call for me. I used to wonder how guys could ever get like that, but I'm wondering if I've kind of been spiraling into a shell myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a shell of a husband, let me speak on their behalf.
Are you afraid of your wife, or?
It's afraid. I called you guys about a year ago. I used to put gel in my hair, and a couple times I left my wedding ring like on the sink. And when I went to the park, she would yell at me about it, and we'd have some kind of blowout fight. She's very critical, and it seems like nothing can be missed. Leave a little bit of grease on the on a pot, or
Lynette, is this you? Lynette,
wrong.
I'm sorry. Oh, sorry.
God,
that's what you said last week.
Yeah, that's hysterical.
Yeah,
I probably
Lynette
did.
Doesn't have an ounce of criticism in her, although a little bit be nice. Because it does kind of keep you in line.
That's true.
Well, here, look.
So how has this progressed? So you've sort of shrunken down a little bit. You've pulled in a little bit. You've protected yourself. So, you've accommodated some of the aggression. Okay. Not necessarily bad.
You guys told me to talk to her because it's been getting worse. We've been married for about a year and a half at that time. And I did. And she didn't say anything, but it got better. And for like a while, she stopped with the critical, biting comments, and then it just became the critical. So while the biting comments aren't there, which is really good, I feel a little bit under attack. And this might be me.
It could very well be you. Hold on.
Now, Adam, you would argue if this were Lynette calling us to talk about this, you would say, well, what are you doing to make him critical, and why don't you adjust to some of that? Is she pointing out something real? Right? Would you say that? Hang on. Am I not saying?
Well, I wouldn't Sort of. I wouldn't couch it that way. Okay, I would just sort of break it down, which is if there's instances that are repeated instances of you not being able to find your phone
or whatever
an extra set of keys so I can move the car when you're out of town or something, but you have the keys with you I can't move the car to change your flat tire or whatever it is.
Is she critical about the same sort of stuff over and over?
That's not really being critical. That's sort of being pragmatic.
He's experiencing it as critical.
It doesn't mean it's critical.
So back to me?
Yeah.
You know, there's some things that I've learned a lot. I'm a little lackadaisical in I leave the baby. We've got a 9-month-old baby, and I'm always leaving the baby wipe thing open, and they're drying out. She gets pissed.
The reason she gets pissed is because she's told you that 18 times, and it's a simple thing. It has a flap on it, and it's white, and you snap it down.
If he finishes this with a mason jar comment, I'm going to give a slow clap right now.
As I'm saying to everybody, because I get into this too, it's like, hey, what are you so shitty about? It's like, because I don't want to talk about this, and I don't want the towels to dry out. So just simply wake up and do this.
He's married to you.
That's right.
That's kind of where it's at, and I'm trying to pay more attention to this stuff. And some things I have, but she hasn't called it out, and I'm not going to just go bragging that, hey, I've been washing the grease out of the pan lately.
The other side of the story is when you want to go there, get some brownie points because you did something you should have done anyway, which is snap the lid down on the squeezed ketchup container. Highness, let me finish up the plaque. Would you like a plaque or would you like a medallion?
What a trophy.
A trophy. All right. How about all the above? What you're doing is participating in life, in commerce here. But look, I feel you, Dominic. What I'm saying is when somebody says snap the lid back on the baby wipes, because that's a perfect thing. They leave them open all the time. It dries out. And then really what it does is it punishes you and her. And the baby's ass, because you find yourself
in a way. In a way, this is the stuff we've been talking about all show.
Well,
right.
Not only that, but I tell you how many millions of Americans over the course of the last 100 years have probably perished over nothing, where they just went, well, how late's the Ralph's open? Yeah. Oh, they're open till 10. Okay, well, someone's got to go to Ralph's because the kid just shit himself up. But you got to go get the baby. And somebody gets hit by a drunk driver.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just nothing. Like, over a 50-cent item. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when Jimmy told me to stop saying awesome, I thought to myself, I never want to do that ever again. And when your wife says, hey, snap the lid down on the baby wipe, think, I never want to have this conversation with her ever again.
Yeah.
Don't think, what? Hey, woman. Why are you coming down on me? Think better. I pay for these baby wipes and they're going dry.
Because at the moment that you accept, really motivate change, you can change. It's the problem is creating the motivation.
Listen, I tell people all the time, and I used to get in this argument where I'd go, well, what if I said, not with Lynette, but with whomever, I'd always go, what if I said, if I come back here for a year and I don't see that lid snapped on open on that baby wipe thing, I'll give you $10,000. You think you could get it done? What the answer is? For sure.
Yeah, that's the motivation.
Okay. Yeah. Now pretend you have an ounce of dignity.
That's worth $10,000 to you.
That's worth $10,000.
Speaking of dignity, one last comment about the shell of a husband thing. I am so glad not to be involved in the construction and stuff that you saw over at our house. I'm grateful.
Yes. I kind of would be too.
Not because I'm right. Not because I'm a shell. Because she knows how to do it. I don't. And I don't want to worry about that shit. And thank God she's doing it. So they come to me with questions. I go, don't ask me, man.
Good.
I don't know. I'm no good.
Well, I'll tell you what is good. Simply Safe. When you're done with that pool house, let's get the alarm going with Simply Safe.
Oh, hell yes.
Protecting your home should be easy.
That's a great idea. I'm going to put one out there. I'm going to do it.
It's not. Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, you should, because otherwise you'd have to dig a trench and pull wires and blah, blah, put some kind of variable conduit in there.
No way.
Installation. I know you know it. Installation appointments, drilling holes and dragging and getting locked in into contracts. No. Let's go Simply Safe. Comprehensive, professionally monitored home security online. Each system is a security arsenal. Entry and motion sensors, high-def security cameras, everything you need to keep your family safe. CNET called it comprehensive, easy-to-use protection, and named it Editor's Choice for Home Security. That was back in 2014, and they just keep getting better, man. Order today. Get protection by the end of the week. 10% off right now. Go to Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. SimplySafeAdam.com. That's SimplySafeAdam.com. Get the 10% off. Simply Safe. All right. Go to AdamCarolla.com if you need anything. We got the 24-hour war. We got Corolla drinks. Say hi to Lynette over there. We got no safe spaces. Me and Dennis Prager. A lot of wisdom rolling off that guy's tongue. Get that at iTunes or Amazon or whatever. I agree with me. The new T-shirt. Check that out. Drewski, what do you got?
Go to Drew.com. Please support the people we have supporting us there. And check out the podcast. I'm Ian Spaz, me and Bob Forrest. This is Fred Stoller this week on the Dr. Drew podcast. And, of course, you can get Adam and Drew podcast. And me and Kathy Wood. You can get the KBC show there, too.
So until next time, Adam Crow for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.